Thanks for listening to the Doug Gottlieb Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday, 3 to 6 Eastern, 12 to 3 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Doug Gottlieb Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
We told you high school sports may never be the same, okay? Maybe a far, maybe reaching a bit, Aaron, but the point is we've seen something that we haven't seen in high school before because it hasn't been available to high schoolers slash college athletes before. Name, image, and likeness rules taking over college sports and now making their way down to the high schools as Quinn Ewers, the top prospect by many in the 2022 class for high school football, quarterback out of Texas, has decided, and this leaked, Yahoo Sports reported late last week that Ewers was considering enrolling early at Ohio State. No, not in January to be available for spring practice, but this fall because he wants to capitalize on name, image, and likeness rules that are now in college sports. The state rules in Texas would not allow Ewers to capitalize on those opportunities. So Ewers announced today that he is finishing up his final class that will allow him to graduate from high school, and then he will enroll in Columbus at the Ohio State University and be available for the Buckeyes in fall practice. This is... There are a lot of different levels to this, Aaron, but just the fact of the matter that name, image, and likeness has now reached its nets all the way to high school is a game changer in my mind.
It is absolutely a game changer, and it's interesting because what you mentioned is an important part of this, is that as Texas laws are written right now, Texas is actually, I don't know if it's one of the few, it's one of the few that explicitly prohibits it. Now, there's a lot of states that don't have anything official one way or the other. One, I wonder how long until they officially change that. But two, it is the dawn of a new age. And you know, to be clear, anyone who follows me on social media knows, you know, if you don't, you can follow me on Twitter at @Aaron_Torres. Follow Dan at Dan Byer on Fox. You know, I'm in favor of name, image, likeness, but the idea that it was not going to become pay for play, the idea that it was not going to trickle down into the recruiting game, that was never realistic. Once we opened this Pandora's box, we now know what an elite high school quarterback is worth on the open market. It's worth noting, one, he is the number one player in the country. Two, he's kind of got a unique style and a unique flair to his game. He's got this long mullet. He plays kind of has a little Johnny Manziel kind of swag to him. So he is a unique example, but you know, I do kind of, I'll be honest, I do worry a little bit in the grand scheme about where this is going, how it's going to affect the locker room at Ohio State, where this guy's going to show up essentially, you know, being paid to play, and you're going to have a lot of guys in that locker room that have been there all spring, been there all summer, been there training, that are, I think they're probably going to look sideways at him. I'll be perfectly honest, I really do.
Do you think, though, that is a factor of just the timing of this? Because I do in the essence of that name, image, and likeness is so new that a guy like Kyle McCord, who's at Ohio State and is a five-star quarterback in his own right, that is a freshman, maybe didn't, you know, doesn't have this opportunity, or CJ Stroud, who people think is going to be the Buckeye starting quarterback, maybe hasn't had the opportunity to make it in high school, but could in college because of who he is. Like Ewers is making money not because he's going to be a Buckeye, but it's because of who he is in Texas. And at some point, he could be – I mean, he's the highest-rated recruit to go to Ohio State now with a 10 rating, a 10.0 rating, which passes what Justin Fields had, what Terrell Pryor had. The point that I'm making, though, is – it's not because he's a Buckeye. Do you know what I mean? Like it's because of who he is as the high school and everything that surrounded him when he was a high school guy. So I don't know how that is going to affect what would happen in his locker room this year.
I get that. And I think it's kind of a fascinating dynamic because I haven't necessarily bought into the idea that locker rooms are going to be divided because some guys are making crazy money. But I think what makes this unique is this, is that I was thinking about this probably 2 months ago or so. There was this report report that came out that Johnny Manziel basically admitted, like, look, when I was in college, yes, I got money for autographs. We all know what happened. I got about $35,000. And so now that's obviously small money compared to what guys are going to be able to get over the table. But I only bring it up because I had this thought when I saw that story. I don't think that's going to divide a locker room because I think at the time everybody at A&M kind of knew, hey, we're on national TV every week. We're on the CBS Game of the Week. We're being talked about on Fox Sports Radio and all the great national outlets because of that guy that wears number two. What's different to me about this is I think guys get it. You know, the guys, this kid's got a big brand. This kid's got this. This kid's got that. But I don't know. I don't know, Dan. But what's interesting to me is if he does show up, you know, driving a, you know, $100,000 sports car or whatever, and you haven't been there, and I get it. You're, like you said, it's not because he's the Ohio State quarterback. It's because of everything he accomplished in high school. I think it's different. I just think it's different if you're talking about the first string quarterback, Bryce Young. Even if Bryce Young's the Alabama quarterback, for people who don't know, Nick Saban said he's made close to $1 million. It's different if you're a guy that's been in that locker room that matters, that the guys know, versus realistically, Quinn Ewers is probably going to be the fourth string quarterback when he walks in that door just because of when he's coming in and all that stuff. I just think it's an interesting dynamic. I totally get your point, and I totally see where I think a lot of people feel the way that you do. I just feel like, man, fourth string quarterback hasn't been here all spring, all summer. Maybe the best way I can put it, I know I'm rambling, I'll cut myself that's off right. here with, no, with this thought, is I guess what I will say is, to me, it's probably no different than being a rookie in the NFL, where he will have to earn that respect of the locker room.
I don't think that this is going to be, you know, Nick Saban was perfect in when he went and told that Texas high school conference on what Bryce Young was making, and to say, you know, like, yeah, he was close to seven figures in the name, image, and likeness. Great recruiting tactic. And to your point, just about that, if the Buckeye quarterbacks will be able to capitalize off of being a Buckeye quarterback, whether it be a large amount or maybe a smaller amount, but that's going to happen just like it would be at any other college. What I find interesting about this is now you're putting a lot of the onus on these high school, these state high school administrations and these associations to come up with rules that I don't know if they were necessarily fully equipped for their own organizations.
Great call.
So you want to talk about like opening up Pandora's box when it comes to name, image, and likeness. It's a much bigger deal for them and how they're going to deal with it than it is for Quinn Ewers, who honestly, Aaron, is just getting to Columbus 5 months earlier than what he would have been in January.
Sure.
Like if he was arriving in camp coming in the next couple of weeks, listen, he was going to be a guy that graduated early. He had already set it up where he was able to graduate this summer, so all of his classes aren't in. And it's not like he's skipping the senior year of high school and not getting a diploma and then being allowed to go play college football at a university. No, he's getting his diploma. He's got all of his credits in. He's just going early. And so many of the top guys in college football are also enrolling early in the winter anyway. So to me, it's not as big on that aspect that he's skipping the fall season for his high school, which is maybe a different conversation, not for a different day, but one just solely of guys that you've played with, and now his high school is losing their five-star quarterback to college. It's more of the fact of how these other states in high school are going to be able to come up with things. And if you're a point guard on your high school team averaging 6 points per game and four assists, your state association is now going to have to figure out a rule that, you know, Tony's Pizza, which love Tony's Pizza, whatever, down the street is going to be able to, you know, allow you to get some sort of pay for being the guy. That's the Pandora's box that I think is just going to get completely out of control, is how do these high school state organizations figure this out?
So let me just kind of pull a 360, and I'm just curious for an outside opinion. I'm not saying there's a right one or wrong one. I just want a different one. Where do you just stand in general on guys this young and girls this young making this much money? And I understand it's a capitalistic society. I get all that. I get the idea that a sport that you love, pro golfers, pro tennis players, can go make money as 14, 15, 16-year-olds, all that stuff. What I will say, though, is this. I do find it interesting that we spent all last week talking about mental health, young athletes, putting too much pressure on young athletes at too young of an age. And then we just readily, oh, yeah, no, let them make $1 million. Let them make $2 million. And, you know, a great example, and Dan, we're going to get kind of nerdy Buckeye right here, right now, is there's a kid named Tate Martell who showed up about 4 or 5 years ago with a lot of hype similar to Quinn Ewers. Never worked out. He ended up transferring to Miami. From Miami, he just transferred last week. And I'm not saying you should turn down the money. I'm not saying if you feel like it, if this person is the right spokesperson for your company, you shouldn't offer him the money. All I'm saying is, what happens if, forget this year, what happens if next year he doesn't earn that starting spot? What happens if he's third on the depth chart coming out of spring ball? What happens if all of a sudden that $1.2 million that he gets this year becomes 25? Mentally, what it does to him? Does he have to? I'm not saying kids should turn down money, provide for your families. I think it's a great thing. I do just think it's kind of interesting parallel of we spent all this time talking about Simone Biles last week, and now all of a sudden we're just green lighting and thrilled that this kid's going to make one, two, three, whatever it is, million dollars a year.
I think there are going to be pitfalls in any situation.
Sure.
I think that they're going to be great stories. I think that there are going to be stories of hardship and how things didn't work out. We've seen this in guys making the call and jumping from high school to the NBA. And if this is the case, and by the way, I don't think it's going to be the norm for guys like Quinn Ewers to leave at this point. I do think more top prospects will take this route, though.
I do agree.
If they are able to do that. But I think that there are going to be great success stories, and I think that there are going to be some stories that are not so great. And one of the things that I do think is going to happen is, hypothetically, Quinn Ewers doesn't work out. And I'll even use a guy about 15, 16, 17 years ago. Justin Zwick was one of the top Ohio's quarterbacks, or coming from the state of Ohio, those going to Ohio State. Can't miss prospect, going to be the future quarterback of the Buckeyes, was the guy. Doesn't work out. Troy Smith actually was in that same class, ends up beating him, and Troy Smith's the one that goes on to win the Heisman Trophy. If Justin Zwick would have been able to make $700,000 to $800,000 on his name, image, and likeness, and still wasn't able to capitalize on his Buckeye greatness, it would be kind of like good for Justin
sure.
Zwick, just
fair.
Like it would
That's
be good for
point.
Quinn Ewers to be able to, you know what, I at least made money when my name was hot, or when I was allowed to, because now it's not worth anything. Like, think of the regret that you would have, or if you weren't able to capitalize on it. And I also think, in a weird way, I think for some athletes, it's going to be for more motivation. Because if you get a taste of it, and I know there can be pitfalls, but if you see what you can do as a prospect, imagine what you could do if you're a Heisman Trophy candidate.
Sure.
I don't think it's going to make guys be complacent. I think it's just going to allow them to capitalize on who they are at this point. There are going to be negative stories. You're going to see them written in The Athletic. You're going to see it, you know, in a magazine, the dangers of NIL. And I'm not trying to, brush yeah. those aside, but I think that there are enough other positive ways where you can actually look at it and make it work.
Well, and I'll just say really quick is, and this is why I wanted to ask you, I wanted an outside opinion. Obviously, I love college sports. I've thought a lot about
yeah.
this, but I do think there is something to be said. And this is one of the reasons that I've never been necessarily against name, image, likeness, is because of exactly what you just said, is we talk about the career arc of even great athletes. I mean, even the great athletes have an 8, 10, 12 year earning window. So if that 8-year window becomes 12 years, or if that 12 years becomes 15 years, because now you're making, a livable salary in college, first of all, I hope that all these players take advantage of the resources, given to them, that it isn't, just burning a bunch of money when you're 18, 19 years old. And I do think there is something to be said about if it does give a lot of young people a chance to extend that window for 3-4 years, make a little bit of extra money to ease them into their adult life post sports. I think that could be a positive that comes out of this as well.
He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. This is the Doug Gottlieb Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Get Aaron on Twitter at Aaron_Torres. You can find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. A huge gambling scandal could be on the verge of hitting a major pro sports league. We'll talk about that next here on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is going to get you feeling good on a Monday. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. It is the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Bottom of the hour, see if you can test your wits against one John Ramos, who on Friday, Aaron, you weren't here. It was me and Mike Harmon. And Mike and I do the fantasy football podcast, I Want Your Flex. And so we put John to the test of fantasy football, where he had to guess if the notes that we gave him actually happened in football or they were just made up in fantasy. As we teased earlier today, now John Ramos is going to have to figure out at the bottom of the hour whether the injuries we tell you are injuries that Carson Wentz actually suffered or not. So that's what John Ramos is going to have to determine in about 10 minutes or so. Looking forward to
that. I'm fired up.
Yeah, I know. John, are you nervous at all just about your appearance and hurt so good at the bottom of the hour?
Well, I do want to start off by saying that I do not look up anything. This is a prerequisite for people out there that this is strictly off the cuff when we do these games. And I am looking forward to it because I have no idea what this man has broken in his leg and feet.
All right.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. I'm glad. By the way, I don't look up anything either. And that's why I need Dan Lustin here to help us sort out what is happening in the world of sports. No, I'm just kidding. It's also great to get the band back together. Dan, and Aaron back again. Dan Lust, our sports attorney, also the co-host of the Conduct Detrimental podcast, where there has been no shortage of topics to talk about. But as crazy as it is, I think this is the first time these words have ever been uttered on Fox Sports Radio. Dan, are you ready? Are you ready for this?
I'm ready. I don't know
okay.
what you're about to tell me.
All right. This is the first time it's ever been uttered. Let's start with the NHL. That has never been uttered on Fox Sports Radio before, but that's what we are going to do. How big are these allegations by Evander Kane's ex-wife or wife or mother of his children about him possibly betting on his own games? How big are these accusations?
So put it this way, right? I'm going to mention a couple names. These are from years ago, but we still talk about them, right? The Chicago Black Duck, the Pete Rose scandal, Tim Donaghy, the Boston College point shaving scandal. Every couple decades, you get one of these that really questions the fabric of the sport. They're questioning whether or not what you are seeing in front of you is legitimate. The allegations from Evander Kane's, what he refers to as his soon-to-be ex-wife, are essentially that not only did he bet on games, but that he bet on the San Jose Sharks to lose and profited from it. It's probably the worst allegation you could make. It's worse than Pete Rose, right? Pete Rose said, hey, I bet on my team to win. So is there anything wrong with that? So you ask me, like, I don't know, is it anything wrong by betting your own team to win? You're probably still going to play just as hard. Maybe that's okay. I don't know. But betting your team to lose and profiting from that, we'll say it's loaded, but we can get into it. Evander Kane's got a long gambling history. It's really messy, but there is a lot of smoke here. It's not just an accusation against any Joe Schmo athlete.
And Dan, that's kind of my, you know, one of my takeaways is that he does have a history of gambling issues and he's publicly admitted all that stuff. Legally, what can the NHL do in terms of this investigation? Can they get phone records? Can they get email records? I mean, what legally can a place like the NHL actually get from Evander Kane?
So interesting. I mean, they don't have subpoena power, right? They're not like the police department. They're not like a court where they can subpoena people in and have witnesses and whatnot. So they really have to kind of rely on people volunteering. They could get Evander Kane, and Evander Kane is going to say exactly what he said in the statement, that everything is false. Congrats, they get you nowhere. What you need to get to is Anna Kane. Anna Kane is, again, the soon-to-be ex-wife. If you can get her, right, I mean, there might be something here. Now, I guess I'll just point about this, and for those that don't know the full story, and Aaron, you bring it up, there is a lengthy gambling history here, and there's, you ask me what the NHL can do. It's what the NHL failed to do for the last 2 years that we as lawyers are are kind of pointing at. So, you know, Evander Kane filed for bankruptcy this past year. He filed and admitted to having $1.5 million in gambling losses. So the NHL reportedly has known about that for 2 years. So I'm not sure what investigation they did. I can't imagine that they figured this all out. But if they knew that there were $1.5 million in gambling losses, and it was supposed to be casino losses, did they go through the receipts and actually add up, like, hey, this came from this casino, this came from poker, this came from blackjack, to get to 1.5? Because if there's any unaccounted for money, you know, in that 1.5, NHL's got a really big problem on their hands. So, yeah, they could bring a lot of people in. But, you know, this investigation kind of begins and ends with Anna Kane. Short of her saying, I made the whole thing up, I don't know how the NHL instills the confidence back that nothing happened here.
One more quick one on this Kane story. Dan Luss joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio. Sports attorney. Find him on Twitter at SportsLawLuss. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. Was the NHL's response more than reactive instead of proactive because it came so quickly? Is that the point as well that you're making of what they failed to do?
Well, you know, the NHL had this. Again, reports are that they knew about the gambling losses for about 2 years. So I don't know. The response was recently, you know, that they're going to launch a full investigation. So I give them credit that on a weekend that they announced they launch a full investigation. You know, but, you know, 8 weeks until the season, you know, they got to figure this out quick. And then we're going to have another, you know, Trevor Bauer or Deshaun Watson situation on our hands. Should the guy be playing with this hanging over his head? And Commissioner Gary Bettman has the authority to suspend him if he commits some type of, you know, conduct that's detrimental to the league. So, you know, we'll see. But the investigation is going to be ongoing, and I don't think it's going to be done in 8 weeks. And I would be very surprised if he's on the ice come the season opener.
So, Dan, one of the other interesting stories, there's a lot of sports law stuff. You're a busy man right now. Is this whole Big 12, SEC, Texas, Oklahoma deal. I think we all know that once 2025 hits, that is when their contract with the Big 12 runs out. There is nothing that Texas and Oklahoma can do. And the Big 12 commissioner has essentially said 2, 3, 4 times on the record, we look forward to having Texas and Oklahoma be part of our conference through the end of 2025. So my question for you is, there seems to be this sentiment in the media that Texas and Oklahoma will be in the SEC as early as next year. Realistically, is that possible from a legal perspective? And what recourse does Texas and Oklahoma have to get out of their contract early?
Is it possible? Yes. Is it expensive? Yes. They can do it. They're going to have to pay a ton of money. But, you know, think about it just normally. This isn't such a fancy legal term. They have a contract in place to bind all of the Big 12 schools to the Big 12 rights deal until 2025. And if one of the schools wants to leave that deal, sure, they can leave it, but they will get sued likely for breach of contract. So, you know, they can pay a lot of money. They can pay, I think the number that the Texas and Oklahoma have to pay for leaving the conference early would be $75 to $100 million per school, not each. Could some of that be footed a little bit by the SEC? Sure. It's certainly possible if they really wanted to get them out early. But, Aaron, I mean, we just got to buy Texas and Oklahoma at face value. Their joint statement, which is very odd, it's not a normal thing that two schools issue a joint statement. It says that we plan to honor our contract up until 2025, and then we're going to explore our options. So kind of tongue-in-cheek, right? Kind of like wink, wink. We're going to hang around until 2025, but, you know, oh, yeah, if the conference does not exist anymore, if there's a complete yep. exodus and everyone goes their separate ways, there's no one to pay the money to, right? Bob Bowlesby, the commissioner of the conference, goes scorched earth trying to save the conference because he knows if the conference doesn't exist, there's no job for him. So that's a little bit of what's going on here. Texas and Oklahoma have basically sent the conference into a tailspin. And I guess just on one high note, people should be paying attention to this. The Big Ten grant of rights deal expires in 2023. So if they're going to renew and they want to get up to 16 schools, Big Ten's right now at 14, they're going to have to find two new dance partners by 2023. So if they go and poach two more from the Big Ten, or sorry, from the Big 12, all of a sudden the Big 12 is down to about six schools. So I think the world where the Big 12 ceases to exist, I think that is certainly on the table.
Dan Luss, sports attorney, joining us here on Fox Sports Radio. Quickly on the Cleveland baseball team, now the Indians, will they be the Guardians next year?
The way I see it, Dan, they have two options. They can write a blank check to a roller derby team, or they can change their name to something that is not the Guardians. Fun exercise for your listeners right now. go to www.clevelandguardians.com. If a baseball team comes up, I will be shocked. If a roller derby team comes up, you are correct, my friend. A roller derby team owns the website for clevelandguardians.com. Every other baseball team owns their website, San Francisco Giants.com, Detroit Tigers.com. Now, an even more fun exercise, guys. Punch in guardians.com in. Last I checked, that was an available domain that could be purchased by the highest bidder. I had someone go through the mechanics. The guy on the other end, that like web chat person, was offering it for $50,000. So I'm not sure who thought it was okay to clear the name, but on July 23rd, they announced this name. They did not have clevelandguardians.com. They didn't have Guardians. They didn't have at Cleveland Guardians on the Instagram account, all of which are, besides Guardians.com, owned by a roller derby team. So they can either cut a blank check to the roller derby team, or they can go, which I think is the more popular one, Cleveland Spiders. I'm hearing that all in my replies.
Dan, just a minute left. Deshaun Watson, he's not practicing, but he's there. It does not appear as though anything is imminent from the NFL. Again, 1 minute, just thoughts on where we're at with Deshaun Watson. Is there a logical next step?
No, I think the Deshaun Watson is playing a game of chicken right now with the NFL. He showed up, and I think all the experts are saying if he shows up, they're going to expedite the investigation against him and put him on the commissioner's exempt list immediately. And looks like Watson, for now, is winning this game of chicken. He's there. He's in uniform. He's on the sidelines, and no punishment. So, yeah, I think the next step is to have a punishment come, but Goodell seems hesitant to make the first step. So we will see what happens there, but definitely interesting to watch.
He's Dan Lush, sports attorney, co-host of the Conduct Detrimental podcast. Find him on Twitter at SportsLawLust, and you're usually going to hear him when Torres and I get together. Appreciate it,
we're
Dan.
We're here on Friday, Dan, by the way, yeah. me and Byers. So just be ready for the call, okay?
Yeah, no three-day weekends
throw
for you,
throw up the
Dan.
Bat signal, guys. I'm here.
All right. Thanks, man. We appreciate it. Dan Lush joining us here on the Doug Gottlieb Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Doug Gottlieb Show weekdays at 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific.
Hey, this is Jason McIntyre. Join me every weekday morning on my podcast, Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre. This isn't your typical sports pod pushing the same tired narratives down your throat every day. Straight Fire gives you honest opinions on all the biggest sports headlines, accurate stats to help you win big at the sports book, and all the best guests. Do yourself a favor and listen to Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carson Wentz is out 5 to 12 weeks. biggest timetable ever. I hurt my thumb a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's a 2 to 62 week injury.
Oh, wow.
Hopefully it heals sometime between now and next August, but we'll see how it works out. John Ramos is going to be put in the hot seat. John, are you ready to play a game we like to call Hurt So Good?
Yes, I'm ready to. I just wanted the drum beats to get going.
No, I know you did. Yeah. John's a music aficionado. Before we play, Aaron Torres and I, Dan Beyer, are the hosts of Hurt So Good. John, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, I grew up in South Pasadena, California. I attended St. Francis High School and the University of La Verna Division III School. And I currently have been working here at Fox Sports Radio since 2009.
All right, wow. Says here you have three children.
I do. Lucas, Sarah, and the new one, Jonah.
Are they in order of the rankings that you
they are
like
not.
Right now?
No, okay. I was stumped by the rankings there for a second. And my beautiful wife, Suzanne, is in the audience today. I love you, honey.
All right. All right. What's going to happen on Hurt So Good? John, you're going to have to guess if these injuries have occurred to Carson Wentz at some point in his NFL career. Aaron and I will alternate in giving you the different injuries, and then you just have to tell us if they were an injury or not. Simple as that?
It's very simple. Sounds good. Thanks.
In fact, if it is an injury, you have to say hurt so good.
Okay.
And if it isn't, you got to say hurt so bad. How about that?
Okay.
Can I just wince if it's bad? Yeah. Oh, okay. That was bad.
Oh,
that was,
that's
bad.
Actually very good. I like that one a lot. Let's start it out, John Ramos. Are you ready?
I am ready.
Bruised tailbone. Is that an injury that has forced Carson Wentz to miss games in his football career? Bruised tailbone.
Hurt so bad.
That is correct. Okay. Bruce tailbone is what I suffered in ninth grade when I went snowmobiling and they hooked up a toboggan at the back end of it. and we hit a jump and I landed on my tailbone. But I didn't want to tell the basketball coaches that I got hurt snowmobiling when I shouldn't have probably have been doing that. So you know what we said? Slipped on ice. That's a good excuse you can have when you live in the upper Midwest in the winter. So I am coming clean. When I was 15, I didn't slip on ice. I was actually on a toboggan on the back of a snowmobile that hit a jump and then landed on my tailbone. John Ramos is one for one.
One, I will say, I hope your high school basketball coach is not listening, Dan. And two, let's get to Hurts So Good. The second one, a grade 3 Lincoln Riley tear.
Lincoln Riley is the coach?
It's a grade three Lincoln Riley tear, yeah.
I would say that's Hurts So Bad.
Yeah.
That is correct. Yeah, that is correct.
I shouldn't have said Lincoln Riley. That was too obvious. It said Lincoln something, and I wanted to say Lincoln Riley.
It said Lincoln Lion, because in grade three, I was a Lincoln Lion.
Or
that's why. So Lion was, I was, Lincoln Elementary was the name of my my school back then, and that was in grade three at that time. John, what about a head?
Grade three, okay, you got it.
Grade three, I was in third grade. Yeah. What about a head cranial concussion, grade one? Does that sound like a Carson Wentz injury?
I'm going to say it hurts so good.
That is correct. Okay. He suffered that in the wild card game against the Seahawks a couple of years ago. A grade one head cranial concussion.
How about a grade three LCL tear in his knee?
I'm going to say it hurts so bad.
I'm sorry.
Oh, really, John, happened? the perfect game is over. Oh. Just saw it on the bottom scroll. John Ramos' perfect score and hurt so good. Yeah, he did.
Well, I know he had a knee injury, but I thought it was an ACL. I thought LCL was like the messing around or something like that.
It was part of it as well.
Stay tuned. Yeah,
there were a bunch of different ligaments.
That may be in the future, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah. What about hitchhiker's thumb? Has Carson Wentz missed a game with hitchhiker's thumb?
Oh, it would be great if he did, but I'm going to say it hurts so bad.
That is correct.
Okay.
You know, there aren't hitchhikers anymore. You notice?
No.
Nobody hitchhikes anymore. Do you think it's COVID related?
I think it started before COVID, but I agree with you.
You think it's the possible murder aspect of it?
I'm going to say that might have a big part in it, yeah.
Like Carson Wentz murdered the Eagles organization. Too soon.
Seriously, when was the last time you saw a hitchhiker?
Like when I was 25, maybe.
Oh,
I'm 51 now, so.
Yeah, it's been a while. All right, John, you're 4 for 5.
Okay. Same vein as hitchhiker's thumb. How about a one diagnosis of tennis elbow?
Oh, man. I'm going to say hurts so good.
Let's go. That did not happen.
Oh, you got me.
I went off script here. That's not even on the list.
That's all right. We know what happens when you go on script, so maybe it's better that you went off. Brian Fenley, our tennis expert, knows a little thing or two about tennis elbow.
Yes.
All right. That's all we needed from you, Brian.
Thanks.
John Ramos, what about pedal foot? Pedal foot, is that an injury Carson Wentz suffered
in
his career?
I hope not. I'm going to say hurt so bad.
No, that's what he has now.
God.
He has pedal foot.
Oh, wow.
I guess cyclists get it. I don't know the exact nature, but it is an injury. Pedal foot.
All right,
John. Last one.
Okay.
This is simple. There's no funny name.
Nope.
Just a broken bone in his wrist.
I'm gonna say hurt so good.
He did in fact hurt his wrist.
Yes, he did.
Yes.
All right, we actually have time for two more.
Okay.
We have time for two more. What about a sprained LOL for Carson Wentz?
I'm going to say that hurts so bad.
He sprained his lateral outer ligament. No,
oh,
I'm kidding.
Okay.
No, I'm kidding. No, it was. Yeah, we made that
That's
up just
good.
For LOL.
LOL.
All right, Torres, final one.
Hairline fracture to the ribs.
I'm going to say it hurts so good.
Hurts so good.
All right, good job, Johnny.
A lot of injuries. A lot of injuries.
Man.
That's the point. No tennis elbow, but a lot of injuries.
Pedal foot's the best one.
Yes.
Pedal foot. That was the real deal.
Oh, man.
We also had God Quad. You know what? That was one we never got to.
God
Quad. What would you
quad.
Have said? God
I would
quad.
Have said hurt so bad.
That is correct. Okay. It's actually the God Quad on the campus of Notre Dame. But I figured quad would work. John, your score, man. I think, because I forgot to keep track after
that's
the sixth
okay.
answer, was 7 of 10.
Yeah,
so that's
not
very
bad.
Good.
Yeah.
That's very, very good. What Carson Wentz would complete unless they were within 5 yards of the line of scrimmage.
7 of 10.
He's John Ramos. Get him on Twitter at JSRamos06. Aaron Torres, you can find on Twitter at Aaron_Torres. And you can find me on Twitter at Dan Beyer on Fox. Coming up next, we continue talk of Carson Wentz. And what does it mean for things shaping up in the AFC? That next year on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer sitting in for Doug today. Doug will be back tomorrow. Get Aaron on Twitter at Aaron_Torres. You can find me at Dan Beyer on Fox. Coming up at the top of the hour, something bothers me. And I need to get something off my chest. But that's going to be in 10 minutes. In the meantime, we're going to hear something great from a Fox Sports Radio or FS1 property. It's a segment we like to call...
And now...
What does the Fox say?
Aaron, the big news of the day is Carson Wentz going to be out 5 to 12 weeks as he will need surgery because of his injured foot. Colin Cowherd weighed in on the Colts offseason and their acquisition of Carson Wentz and so much more.
This is an interesting story. You can do everything right in the National Football League. Everything right. The Colts have done everything right. They built a pass rush, a great O-line, a great GM, an excellent coach, super roster, smart with their money, don't overpay anybody. Yeah, they can't get the quarterback right. And when Andrew Luck retired right before the season, everybody in the media said, he has a right to retire whenever he wants. I said it too. But this is what it is since then. They have been bailing water at the number one most important position. They could call Philip Rivers. He's coaching high school football and beg him to come back. They could go sign Nick Foles. What a psychological mess that would be like it was in Philadelphia. But when Andrew Luck retired before a season, and I love him, this franchise has been playing catch up at the single most important position since. For them, the good news is they're in arguably the most dysfunctional division in football. A lot of rebuilding, a lot of tire fires, and that really helps.
That Colin Cowherd earlier today, he's not necessarily wrong in saying that the Colts have been playing catch up since the Andrew Luck injury, or the retirement. It's just the fact of how they've had to deal with that sudden retirement. It's difficult for teams to do that. And honestly, if you're running your organization like Colin said that they are running their organization, you know, to me, Aaron, they're not like the Rams who are just willing to, like, let's just go year by year. Let's figure this out. Let's give picks here. We don't care about our first rounders. They're much more, less needs much more of the gambler when it comes to stuff like that. The Colts way of doing things does not allow them to go out and get a Matthew Stafford. It doesn't. Like, even though they went and gave up draft picks for Carson Wentz, they're not going to give up 2 first rounders for Matthew Stafford. I don't want to say that's holding them back, but I just think it's difficult to fault a team when they were hit with a sudden retirement of a quarterback out of nowhere, a guy that they thought was going to be their quarterback for the next decade after that.
I'll just say, just in general, I do kind of agree with Colin's sentiment, and this is unfortunately the reality of sports. You can do everything right, as he said, everything can go as planned, and sometimes it just doesn't work out. I mean, you can, whether it's an injury, whether you just run into a better team, but when I look at this situation, I do feel bad for the Colts, because I really was fascinated, I really was curious to see if this was in fact a team that could take the Titans in the division, as we discussed earlier, but unfortunately, as you said, 5 to 12 weeks is a long time. We don't have quite an idea, but kind of disappointing.
What does the Fox say?
Sorry to cut you short on time there. There's a lot to get to. And listen, Luck only retired 2 years ago. So there's still time. There's just, to deal with what they did last year. I think Rivers was a nice stopgap, and now they're dealing with Wentz, where it's just bad luck. He's Aaron Torres. I'm Dan Beyer. I get something off my chest at the top of the hour. That's next here on Fox.